Tuesday, March 26, 2019, 10 a.m. Can you stand for Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Joe.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Roy.
Here.
Wes is not here, and also Richard.
So Richard Heap has just showed up. So he is present. Okay, Joe, we'll start with you. We introduced a guest and port staff. So Joe?
Joe Spear.
Ken Rank.
Roy Davis.
Richard Heap. Gary Dillinger, port manager.
Danielle Shepherd, administrative assistant.
Michael Crow with Crow Clean Associates Architects.
Kelly Beebe, Harbor Sanitary District.
I'm Connie Huntsman, CPA, auditor of the port.
Thank you for being here.
I'm John Huntsman, our administrative assistant.
Okay.
Sherry Hartung, public.
Yuri Hartung.
All right, thanks everybody for coming. Once again, please make sure your cell phones are off, please. Are there any modifications, additions, and changes to the agenda from anyone? This next one, does any of the commission want to declare potential conflicts of interest at this time? Okay. Can I get an approval of the agenda as written?
I'll make the motion we approve the agenda as written.
I need a second.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah.
There are no public comments turned in. So we'll move to action items. Procurement approval for roof repairs. Gary, you want to start on that?
Yeah. We put a RFP out about a month ago asking for quotes on three roofs, the kite field, the boat launch restroom roof, and also the Pacific Ocean Harvester roof. And we got two quotes back after 30 days.
Who was the other quote, Gary?
Allied.
What?
Allied Roofing.
Right.
And also the roofers.
Okay.
I haven't got our contract from our lawyer yet, so if the board would want to see the contract first, we can hold off until the next meeting.
I think we should hold off, Gary. And also, I don't know. I've heard of Allied, I've never heard of The Roofers LLC. And I don't know anything about Allied Roofing. Did we, so the bid was put out and we only received the two quotes back? Where was that? Where was that advertised at, Gary?
In the local newspaper and also our website.
So everybody had a chance.
Yep.
Do you want to put your comments in the form of a motion? We'll delay it until we have a contract.
If you want to make that motion, Kim, yes.
I'll make the motion that we delay the contract, issuing the contract until Martha created one and we review it.
I second that.
Gary?
Richard?
Yeah.
Roy?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay, action item B, procurement approval for backflow devices.
Now we did the same thing. We put out an RFP for 30 days and also on a website, and we got one quote back. That was 5R construction. That's for four places of rebuilding our backflow devices. One here at retail, boat launch, the RV park, and also the commercial basin.
Any discussion from the board?
I'm still waiting for the contract.
Okay, so we're not gonna make any action to award this today until we hear from Mark.
I want to make a motion.
You make another motion, Ken.
I'll move that we delay the decision on the backflow device until we have a contract in here.
I'll second that.
Gary?
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes. Okay, action item C is the procurement approval for stormwater pollution control plan.
So this engineer is a sole source engineer. He produced the stormwater prevention plan for Coos Bay. I reviewed that plan. It's a very detailed plan. Very experienced. And we need to get this guy rolling. He's busy this month as well, but he can get it done before the deadline.
Do we need anything from Martha on this before we make a motion, Gary?
I would say no. Let me do the contract. Let me sign the contract. I put in a motion to have you guys approve me to sign it.
Any discussion?
Make a motion on it?
I'll let you.
Any other discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve action item C, procurement approval for stormwater pollution control plan.
Can I get a second?
I second it.
Gary?
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
So is that motion to include Gary signing the contract?
Yes.
Action item D, CPA port audit fiscal year 2017-18.
Hello, I'm Connie Huntsman, CPA from Coos Bay. I'm an auditor, been auditing several ports. You're now one of my clients. And just to let you know, I'm just kind of showing off some of my paperwork. The audit is underway. What we've got going on, I'll give you a little bit of history. There's this Governmental Accounting Standards Board that comes out with statements on how municipal corporations, you're a small government.
Could you come over here so I can
hear
better? I'm sorry.
Yeah. But the Governmental Accounting Standards Board determines how governments present their financial statements. They were enacted about the 80s, and about 15 years ago, they came out with statement number 34, and that is where the port started doing their financial statements on a GAAP basis, generally accepted accounting principles. Well, since then, they came out with, about 5 years ago, GASB 62, which codified all the rest, and now we're up to GASB 87, and it is getting incredibly difficult for small districts to prepare their financial statements. In fact, it's almost downright ridiculous. So what's happening is CPAs are telling small governments that have less than $25 million in revenues to go to a governmental financial office association special purpose statement. Basically, it's going to be cash basis. Cash in, cash out. No longer going to be concerned about accruing revenues, accruing expenses, reporting compensated absences. You'll still be doing that. It's just that you won't have to report it, which will streamline the audit process. Bottom line is we're trying to get it to where you do a budget through Oregon budget law. You have your resources coming in, property taxes, RV park revenue, marina revenue. Then you have your expenses going out, which is your personnel services, payroll, wages, and materials and services, which is your goods and services, electricity, utilities, all that stuff. And then you have capital outlay, and then your debt service. We're going to align the financial statements so it better matches your budget. When you pass your budget, you have all your line items. When the financial audit is done, it pretty much looks like your budget. There's not going to be anything on a balance sheet except what cash you have in your account. The port is, I think, is very proactive. You've sought out the help of a CPA, Jerry Burns in Medford. He's one of the top CPAs in the area, if not the nation. He's going to help convert your financial statements to the cash basis, basically your checking account. Whatever your checking account balances at the end of the year, whatever your deposits you made and expenses made during the year is what's going to be reported. At this point in time, there's kind of a chart of accounts is being worked on. As the auditor, the port is provide me the financial statement, you know, check account balances with what was spent and what was brought in. And then I take a look at that and I say, well, that looks reasonable, or no, that's total junk science either way, but I know it's going to be reasonable. So at this point in time, Kim, the financial director, is working with Jerry Burns, setting up the books so that it shows, you know, cash in, cash out. That's going to set your ending balances, your beginning balances, cash. Your ending fund balance is also going to be cash. So at this point in time, until I get those financial numbers from Jerry and Kim, I cannot issue my auditor's report. We are getting really doggone close. The state granted an extension until March 31st. I doubt it's going to be done by then. However, Jerry has been talking with Amy Dale. She's the director at the Board of Accountancy. And we have full communication between Jerry, Amy Dale, and I. The port will probably not have its financial statement done, but there's not going to be any real negative effects except for the fact that they're going to say, you really should get it done. And we really are going to get it done. I just have a feeling it's going to be in April. I just want to say that the port is doing things right. You're going to make it a whole lot easier on the financial department. You're going to be following Oregon budget law so that you actually know what your income is, what your expenses are, what's your checking account balance. I think it's going to be simpler to read, understand, and I'm kind of looking forward to getting this process all done, and with any luck next year it'll just be a breeze, because we're just looking at checking account balances. We're not looking at future items that have to be accrued on your books and records. That will kind of all be in the background, because as you know, your infrastructure needs work. But if you don't have cash in the checking account, can't spend it. So at least you can get good reports on where your cash is.
Very good, Penny.
Any questions? Okay.
Sure. Any questions?
No, I'd probably be looking at our next regular meeting to have the audit.
I hope
and
so.
And have it approved.
It's a tough time of year for most CPAs because it's tax season.
Right.
And so I'm helping Kim get the final spreadsheets to Jerry. Jerry's going to write the financial statement. He's also bogged down in tax season. I myself, my tax season kind of starts in April too. So it's priority for me to actually get all of my work done at the end of this week. And then just basically wait for the financial statements and sign my report. But yes, I feel pretty confident. April 16th or 19th, I think your next board meeting is.
16th,
okay.
Yeah,
and I've definitely got that penciled in. But you know, I feel confident in what's happening. It's going to be a big change, but I think it's going to be simpler, easier, in compliance.
Very good.
Yeah, and we probably want to be signing you up early.
Yes.
For this year, so we don't run into a problem last year.
And I did have to submit a new engagement letter for this audit.
Right.
Kim does have it, I think Gary has it. Basically,
the court already approved it.
Oh, okay, yeah, because when I originally did my engagement, you guys were doing the accrual basis, generally accepted accounting principles. I'm now going to audit the cash basis. That means I had to change the wording in my contract.
All right. Thank you, Connie.
You're welcome.
Thank you for attending.
Any questions from the board?
Only a comment. I'm glad we don't have to do that.
Oh, my. I was just thinking in my head, you guys have made time to set up meetings like this and audits and listen to the CPA, all the changes. Like you said, now we're up to GASB 80-something?
Yes.
Your job, what do you want?
100 hours of education, continuing education a year.
Just to keep up with the changes?
Yes.
Yes. All right, Connie, thank you.
Okay, so we have no information items tonight. So we'll move to the workshop items, beachfront RV park rebuilding design. Gary has a PowerPoint presentation for us to watch tonight. Anybody else who is here to speak on the beachfront RV park rebuilding project, please do so.
Yeah, we'll go through the PowerPoint first and we'll go into discussion.
Yeah.
We got a pointer. Anybody wants to point at the screen? We're high tech here now. All right, so what brings this to the table here is our storms that impact our RV park. So this is back in 2017. This is one of the worst ones that I've seen. So this picture here, we're looking towards back towards the entrance of the RV park. And that's the other the exit side. Same storm that deposited all the debris. And that storm there impacted the restrooms, which now the restrooms are closed. The storm here was just this last year. The debris wasn't as bad, but the waves still came over and still impacted the RV park. And of course, when the waves come over, it doesn't have to be raining, but all the water goes straight down towards the dry land area. And you know, we do have a drain sitting there, but it gets cluttered up. There's a drain, so everything sits there until we clean it out. And then the last storm that brought debris was just a couple months ago. So this storm here just deposited everything, the entire park, which this is the first time I've seen it. Usually it happens like halfway through towards the exit. But, and also this storm, the waves hit our riprap so hard it actually damaged the riprap, deposited rock up on top of the RV park. And there's more debris there. So anyways, like I was saying before, most of the storm damage happens through here, and that's basically the lower part of the seawall. That's basically what I'm showing here is where all the damage is occurring here, and all the water ends up down in this little bowl. That's the lowest point of the RV park. Then we have we've got one topo of the RV park back in 1995. You can see the elevations where at the beginning here it's 25 foot. Then it changes right here. We've got a line here that's still 25 foot. Then it drops down to 20 foot, down here to 18, which coincides with where the water flows. So the facilities that are damaged or closed is our main restroom, shower buildings closed. The laundromat building was demoed. Secondary restroom is getting impacted. The last storm deposited sand down the drain. And also the building's made out of wood, so it's rotting away. Dry tent camping sites are closed because we don't have a restroom facility that meets the requirements within 500 feet. That's where they do have a requirement of 500 feet for sanitary facilities. When I'm talking to the state, they don't give me definite answers about our parking along the front row, if that's recreational parking. They haven't really said one way or another. Kelly might be able to chime in on that part, but.
That would be their call.
Yeah, so I'm basing it that we need a restroom within 500 feet. Since they won't tell me one way or another, So the facility would have to be a minimum size of 3 men, 4 women toilets. And one location possibility is sitting here. That's roughly site 21. That's 500 feet covers this way. And then the other 500 feet would go back this way. So you cover all these parking spaces. And that's, we have roughly 90 parking spaces throughout this entire front row. That's why we need a bigger facility here. And then the staff is proposing putting our RV office up in this corner here. And another restroom would cover this other area. That leads to this map here. So we're throwing this idea out to remove the dry camping and the tent sites, build new RV pull-throughs throughout the front, as many as we can put in there, make parking all the way through the side over here, kind of tie it in with our fish station. The new entrance would be developed here. The old exit would be wiped out. We'll just kind of shift these back ends back in the back side over here so that you'd have a road all the way around this whole thing. And I would make the road two-way instead of having one-way traffic going through here. So keep this as two-way, keep this two-way, and back road two-way. And also fix the seawall. I was just throwing out, you know, what the engineers would come up with, raising the front end a couple feet. And when it starts transitioning to a lower area, your seawall's got to go up higher to make it all kind of same height. And hopefully that would slow down the debris deposits. And funding for all this, this is what I've come up so far. Oregon Parks Recreation, their maximum grant is $750,000. They consider this a rural area, so we'd have to pitch in 20% of that if we got a grant. The pre-mitigation disaster grant, I just put in a million in here, but I think that could go up a lot more since storms are damaging our RV park. I'm not sure. We have to submit a grant for whatever price, but they pay 75%. So we have to come up 25% when that happens. And then I put in $200,000 here for whatever matching that we need to do. There's also the Curry County Road Department loan that we could tap into. And Business Oregon IFA, we might be able to help out as well. Those are the sources that I was coming up with. And then this picture is a little fuzzy, but this is our numbers that our average that we make on our pull-throughs is $1,000. So every new one we put in there, I would assume we make, you know, $10,000. The back ends are roughly $4,000. These are the partial hookups, tent camping, dry camping. In our proposal, we wouldn't have the partial hookups, tents, or dry camping. So removed all those, but with the increased sites, we would come up with, just based on the average of last year, we'd come up with a plus 90,000. And of course, look at occupancy rates. It's pretty, not bad for the pull-throughs. That's why I would say you want to put as many pull-throughs as you can. Back ends are less desirable, but if we had a better looking RV park, those would probably go up as well. That's the end of my presentation.
Very nice, Gary. Thank you. Very nice. Do we have any guests that want to speak on this?
I just came down to kind of see what was going on, so I'm not prepared. I wanted to hear what the board had to say and what Gary was going to say, and then I may offer some recommendations, but I think I need to listen first before I can start opening my mouth on something I know very little about at this point.
Kelly, you got anything to say?
The district is willing to work with you guys on whatever we need to do, even if it means keeping you open temporarily until you can move forward with this project so you can still keep your revenue source.
Means the world, Kelly.
So during this process, are we thinking about relocating the main sewer line? Is that feasible since the bathrooms are going to be toward the back now?
Yeah, we haven't thought about that. The only thing I would do is put in a sewer system. Probably have to pump it up to that manhole near the old laundromat, kind of like the Coast Guard is. Just have like a system that we have like out here. You have a tank and pump it to that high point and let it gravity flow down.
You know, given where we've been with the sanitation district and all the issues, it seems to me if we're going to do this, this would be the time to consider something to relocate the line, help prevent the infusion in the salt water getting into the sewer line in sand. So this might be the time to think about that.
What's the ingress point where's the water entering? I understand the restroom. Is it coming in anywhere else?
Apparently, it can come in through the RV park if they
don't have the caps on.
Caps are not closed.
Okay.
But if you fix a seawall, in theory, you have it high enough where your impact probably won't reach the RV front row if it's built at a certain height.
Okay.
I know from the district standpoint, we do want to see something done with those sewer connections, because if the salt water gets in there at all, even if the salt water doesn't, you're getting sand kicked into those pipes if they're low enough to the ground, and the sand is affecting the impellers in our pumps. And so we probably are going to want to see some kind of a rising of all of those RV connections and a concrete block around them so people back up into them. It doesn't break them off underground.
We've been fighting this for a long time.
Pardon?
That very problem has been a problem for a very long time unsolved. Yes.
I know the port raised them already once, and the ground level is back up to some of the tops of them again.
It's a constant battle on this.
Yes.
Any discussion? Joe? Ken?
Yeah, I have a number of questions.
Okay.
If you raise the seawalls, does the Corps of Engineers have to look at that and approve it? Because my question, I guess, basically is, what's it going to do to the currents out in front of the seawall? Right now, when the tides, as the tides go in and out and the elevation changes, sometimes the beach is absolutely, right now we have a lot of debris of wood, but sometimes you got boulders, nothing but exposed boulders down there. You go down there a couple days later and it's all sand. So how are we addressing that? And
how would you throw that question to the engineer?
Pardon me?
We throw that question to the engineer. Let the engineers iron out that detail.
Then my next question
sorry to interrupt you, but Jack Aiken actually proposed to raise that seawall 3 feet all the way across in our hazard mitigation grant plan. So he's already studied it. I haven't gotten great details with him. It's just a plan going to the FEMA folks. So, like I said, I don't know all the details behind it, or cores in here or any other aspects of it.
My next, in my conversations with people that are living down or staying down there, not living now, is they want a convenience store. Yeah, this is the time we're putting together a master plan that's going to go out the next 30, 40 years. I would like to see a convenience store attached to the laundromat area, and also consideration of 3 or 4 guest rooms that are on above the laundromat and convenience store that comply with the 14-day rental, but I believe we would have to have an elevator And if we have to have an elevator, you might as well put as many of those little rentals as you can possibly put there, whether it's 4 or 6 on that footprint. Where they're elevated, they have a gorgeous view of the port. I think it would be rented frequently because you've got a lot of people that come as guests with the RV people that have no place to stay. They're going to rent something somewhere. You've got other people that want to stay on the beach, but they do not have an RV. So my experience going up and down the coast is those kind of places rent quite easily. So I'd like to see that considered. That's it.
On that note, what Ken's talking about too, and I've talked with Ken about it, Kelly, that these would have full baths, you know, kitchen, right, Ken?
Yeah. So no kitchens. We don't need kitchens if we have a convenience store.
Okay, so no kitchens, but full baths.
Yeah, full baths. Okay. Just like a motel room.
Okay.
Microwave, TV. We need, obviously, Wi-Fi and all that's going to be considered in the overall plan.
Do we still have some SDCs that would be applied, Apple, to that?
You do have some SDCs. We are still reviewing how many spaces were actually paid for at the park. Gary and I have a few very old documents, but it's difficult getting things out of the archives from the county and the state. The biggest hurdle that I foresee for the RV park is going to be installing your sand trap systems, because you are going to have to separate you don't want the sewage going through those sand traps, and so your showers and those kind of things are going to have to go through a sand trap. We'd like to mitigate as much of it from going into the system as possible. In the RV sites themselves, you have one line that's picking up both gray and black water, and so I'm not sure what the solution is there other than to hopefully raise those and keep that sand from getting kicked in. But on some of these other things, your laundromat, you're definitely going to want a sand trap on the laundromat. People are going to get sand in their clothes. They're going to be running through those washing machines before they go home, and so that's going to be a big source of sand.
But if we move forward, we can get this all detailed out.
Can I ask Mr. Crow a question?
Absolutely.
Mr. Crow, would we, to your knowledge, would an elevator be required if we had units on a second
yes.
level?
Yes.
So if you're going there, you might as well put as many units as you can up there to justify the cost of the elevator.
Right, and in that case, you may want to hook the office and the laundromat together,
right,
so that you've got more.
And the convenience store,
right.
Put all that together, well insulated, you could put however many units.
Right. The only other thing I would recommend is probably doing some kind of financial analysis of that, because you're going to have a cleaning crew and all of that kind of stuff, which is not part of your normal staff, so you want to make sure that those things are going to make you enough money to pay for themselves.
Well, but going again back to,
yeah,
this is going to be 30, 40 years of sitting there. This is the master plan for the park for the next foreseeable future, so.
I don't disagree with that, but
yeah.
if the break-even point is
no,
10 or 15 years down the road, that may be too far out.
That's why we're discussing it
yeah.
now. Thank you.
Any further discussion from the board on the RV park presentation?
I would just comment that I was pretty impressed with the idea of having pre-made bathrooms mm-hmm. and showers that you can just basically plop in there. I thought it was a cool idea. Those look like they're probably
Gary, do you know if they, I saw the exterior elevations, but I didn't see anything on the inside. And you know, you'd want to analyze those, make sure they've got, you know, plastic toilet partitions and all that stuff, so that we're not dealing with the metal in this environment again.
Yeah, that, I just pulled that off the website. There's many, many prefab outfits. I just pulled that out, just an idea, but you definitely want to, more detail of how you want those facilities. I think Mike even brought up that they probably have facilities built where you have a little laundromat room inside those things.
Yes.
Pre-built. So you'd have like a little laundromat at each one.
And then we did the Salmon Harbor RV Park, which is very successful, and we put laundry facilities in each of the restrooms because it was closer to the tenants, and it's actually paid for themselves pretty well. Those weren't prefab, but the concept is the same. I like the prefab idea too,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in this environment, if you can get concrete ones or something like that.
Very good. Anything from the public? It's a quiet corner.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
When you're discussing the laundromat, now is that going to just be available to your RV customers, or is it going to be open to the public as well?
It's a tough one. Gary?
Probably, maybe the restrooms. It depends on how many laundromat facilities we want. The restrooms, I would think, would be tied to the RV park, but at the main office, maybe a bigger one would be open to the public. I don't know.
So details to be worked out.
Yeah. Well, but that's my next question now is, where does the board want to go now? Do you want Mike to come up with some drawings, conceptual drawings, various drawings, that maybe some cost estimates? Because I know we need to see the cost estimate of all this as well, mm-hmm. to determine which way you want to go. I wish we had more money in the bank. But we know we got to worry about our infrastructure as well that we got coming down the pike. Or do we plan on do little parts of it? You know, do we put in certain aspects of it, put in the restrooms, keep the RV park office where it's at, and then go in phases and build up to a certain business plan, build up in a certain phase?
Gary, what's the demand been for the 50 amp service?
Well, it's most of the new big rigs want 50 amp. Yeah,
I know. That's why I'm trying to logically in my mind, you know, put in what do I need first?
But most of the big rigs, they go either way. They go 30 or 50. But okay. There's quite a few occasions where they ask 50. 50, but they settle for 30. But I think it's going to be an increasing demand. That's the other thing to think about. We're thinking about increasing, fixing our electrical system during all this. So we bring it up to current standards. I think the current standards, you got to have 50. Mm-hmm. I remember 2 years ago.
So any suggestions to Gary? Do we want to make any suggestions today, or do we want to?
No, my suggestion would be, let's see some conceptual drawings and then break it into phases before you do any kind of detailed drawings. I can see, depending on what we're going to do as that laundromat and office, the orientation may need to be slightly different if you're going to have a view of the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, right now you're kind of looking at houses over on the point. But I would like to see conceptual drawings, and if we approve that, then we break it into phases. Your recommendation.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion on that?
I'll make a motion that we do authorize conceptual drawings for approval, and then we break it into phases after we review the conceptual drawings.
And we'll put estimates with that.
Can I get a second?
So before you vote on it, before we talked about not to exceed amount for the conceptual drawings. So I don't know if that's still.
I'm going to have to. What I want to do is kind of analyze this, and I guess I should ask some more questions. Are you interested in the overall, or Gary, are you going to take on the seawall separately? Are you just looking to me for the buildings, or are you looking to me for the whole park? And which is a much different scope than just the buildings. And. Or we could work together on it. Either way, I'm fine with.
Yeah, I think on the seawall, we probably want Jack's input on the seawall.
Well, I think the seawall is step one.
That would be first phase, I think, somewhere down the road. That's phase one.
Yeah, we're going to do the seawall.
Yeah.
And stop the bleeding, and then go from there.
Well, I could eliminate the seawall from ours, but I think the electrical service upgrade is important. Getting the layout of the park and making sure that the sites fit where they need to be as part of that process, and then locating the buildings and what they look like is kind of the third piece of that, because we need to get the layout working first. you know, traffic circulation and all that. Gary, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the seawall again. So depending on how high the seawall needs to be or how high it's required, I don't know what's going to be happening on the backside of it. Do we need to raise the RV park somewhat? You know, if the seawall needs to come up 5-6 feet on one end, you're going to have 5-6 feet of rock or seawall or whatever. Your view is
destroyed. Your view, yeah. So maybe we need to have the seawall. Who would you say it was? The guy that you were going to talk to.
Jack Aiken.
Yeah, have him weigh in a little bit first and see what he says. And then we can start, of course, that, I don't think that'll affect the layout much, but it will change elevation in there.
Right.
In your conceptual drawings, you'd be working with Kelly also on making sure that that's all
sure
works with the sanitary district.
Right.
So we have a second on the motion. A second on Ken's motion.
Repeat it.
That we approve Mr. Crow to do conceptual drawings minus the seawall that include the electrical, plumbing, or sewer, and what else you need in that?
Basically, the park layout, sewer, electrical, park layout, and the buildings. And yes, I'll have to talk with you, Gary, a little bit about that.
And then
do you also want them to?
Then we, once we approve that, we go into phases of construction.
Do you also want to, in your motion, include Jack Aikens?
And he would be included in the seawall and whatever else is necessary.
I'll second that.
Okay. Richard?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Just make a general comment about this. I'm getting pretty nervous. We're spending a lot of money. You know, if the infrastructure grant goes through and then this, that's a lot of money. This one, however, I think will pay for itself in fairly short order, relatively short order. So I think it's worth investing in, certainly. But you know, I don't want us to walk into this without being aware that we're committing a lot of port funds and a lot of money down the road.
Hopefully when we're working on this, we can kind of tie this to what's going to increase revenue the quickest, so that if we maybe we don't have to do everything all at once, so we can kind of spread out the phasing so through time, so that you're starting to generate more revenue at the same time paying for part of what you're doing. That would be the approach I would like to see you take anyway.
And in answer to your comment, Richard, wouldn't it have been nice 30 years ago if they spent a lot of money on our port? There's never been a lot of money spent here on the physical property. Otherwise, we wouldn't be looking like we're looking today. And I think with Gary's plan, I've talked with Gary, and I would encourage any commissioner who's not talked with Gary. Gary once had a 3-year plan. And in his absence, that plan, I think we're into like a year and a half, Gary?
About a year.
About a year. And it was an amazing what was happening in that year's time. They put this 3-year plan together. And I'm talking to Gary since the last time we went up to Salem together. I think some good things are going to come down from the state as far as some money and some maybe possible some forgivenesses in certain areas. So I guess my point is, wouldn't it be nice to have a beautiful RV park in our lifetime or something? And yeah, I know we're going to spend a lot of money too because of our infrastructure that's still failed. It's nice to sit on a board that we're actually willing to do something.
Well, if we can stay static or we can move forward, I mean, that's the bottom line. If we stay static, we're going to just basically disintegrate. And we will have much value left. So yeah, we're going to have to do something. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, me too.
You know, get my arms around that. That's a lot of money we're spending, but I think it's money that we need to spend. And like I say, in this case, I think it's money that we'll get back.
Okay.
that's part of our budgeting process coming up, budgeting all these things out, so.
Joe, anything? Ken?
More comments, no?
Yes, absolutely.
I will apologize for being late.
Oh.
I was kind of running behind today because we had the salmon hearings last night in Coupe. And I would just say, based on that, my suspicion is that we will go from May 18th through September 2nd for the recreational season, and we will have Coho and Chinook.
Oh, nice. Is that, are you talking both sport and commercial?
No, the commercials will be pretty similar to last year. You have all of May, all of June, and then quota fishery in June, July, and August.
And I'm also hearing that out of San Francisco this year, is it true that it'll be fish wide open?
Possibility, right?
No.
It wouldn't be wide open.
No, it won't be wide open. The problem California has is they're trying to balance the north and south. So if they put a lot of effort south, they're going to impact Sacramento fish. If they put north, they're going to impact Klamath. So they have to juggle that back and forth to figure out how to get the most days out of that.
Okay. Because I've talked to a couple of fishermen that are going to San Francisco with really small boats because they think they'll be able to fish.
I suspect they're going to have a pretty good season. Just remember, there's not a lot of fish. You're only talking half a million fish out there right now from the climate in Sacramento, but they're not really a lot. The only other thing that came up last night was some discussion about the whale entanglements on the craft here in California shutting down April 15th. I don't know if that will come to us. Washington, I think, is considering shutting down also.
Okay.
So stay tuned. That's just what we need, another shot in the crab season.
It's going to happen.
Anyway, that's my comment.
Okay. So that being said, our next regular meeting is April 16th, 2019, 6 p.m. right here in this room. And that being said, meeting is adjourned. 10:50, March 26, 2018. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Can you ask me a question about the elevator? It's true, they put all units on the upper floor.